Testing, 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 testing.
Ready? Along towards the close of the school year, I began to feel the effect of my forced retirement due to the fact that I was 65 years of age. I began to think of what I could do when July 1st, 1959 came, and I think I unconsciously began to think back over my life in the Decatur school system. The grade school in the 7th and 8th grade, the principalship at Durfee Grade, the junior high school, Centennial, Woodrow Wilson, Decatur Senior High School, and naturally many of the little things came to mind, as when I led the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in my naval aviation uniform and looked into the young faces of the primary grades of the first graders at Durfee School. I also thought about the first banquet that we had at Centennial Junior High School to give an incentive to the youngsters to have a more interest in their work. The telephone calls from the newspaper reporters telling me I was appointed principal at Woodrow Wilson Junior High School. The Christmas program at Woodrow Wilson and the football and basketball games at high school and the changes for improving the curriculum at the high school. Also, I thought of my personal life in Decatur. I had married a wonderful young lady with the name of Jessie Crowder, and we had a daughter, Elizabeth Lee Piggott, who passed away while I was principalship of Decatur High. That was a trying time for me, and I had to keep house by myself for my father-in-law, Mr. George M. Crowder, a fine gentleman who lived to be 101, 1 month, and 1 day. I was alone for 2 years after Mr. Crowder moved to... I was alone for 2 years after the death of my wife. Mr. Crowder, with whom I was living, moved to Miami, Florida to be with his son. I got the feeling that there were some things that were better because I had been this way as a great part of my life. I knew the Piggott football field would be sold and plotted into building lots or added to Johns Hill Junior High School for an athletic field. But I thought it would be remembered. I would be remembered at my death by some of the pupils and the students I had when I was in school. The highest highlight of my principalship in DHS was the honor bestowed upon me by Mrs. Ruth Carson, an English teacher and counselor in high school, that honored me by being my wife. She also gave me a daughter and four of the finest granddaughters anyone could possibly have. About a week before school was out, I was sitting at my desk in my private office when the telephone light on lighted. I picked up the telephone and the secretary said, "Long distance, Mr. Piggott." I picked up the phone and said, "Hello," and the answer was, "This is Dr. Lloyd Trump with the Ford Foundation. May I see you in the morning about 9 o'clock? "Sure," I said, "but what about?" "I'll see you tomorrow, okay?" "Okay." I wondered what he wanted, but I had to wait. The next morning he walked into the office and we visited a while and talked about the Illinois Secondary School Principals Association. I happened to be the president for starting in June 1959. They wanted me to talk groups over Central United States on staff utilization? I said, yes, of course I would. But why me? He said, because what you have done with the staff here in Decatur and what you did in summer school in Colorado University on staff utilization. The Ford Foundation office would make my schedule, send me my plane tickets, expense money, when and where I was scheduled to go. I went some places on the East Coast and some on the West. I would be on a half-time basis, and my salary would be much more than half of my present salary. My first assignment was a teacher's institute in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in Lansing, Michigan. I was scared from the time I got my assignment. I went to Lansing the night before, sort of get an idea of what was the procedure. Well, one of the high school principals came to the hotel to visit me. I had a short talk with him about the situation in the system, and he left. I thought, why should I worry? If he can hold a job here all the time, I surely can talk effectively for an hour or so. The next morning, I was escorted to the platform to speak and introduced. The audience was about 15 rows from the stage, which is the usual with such audiences. I asked the man who was to introduce me to get a long cord for the speaker so I could go down in front. He did. He introduced me and did a very good job of it. I stood up and said, now please listen to this first sentence. I'm going to ask you a question. What color of eyes do I have? Someone in the audience says, we can't see you very well from here. And I said, good. And I took the mic and walked down the aisle to the first row of seats in front of the group. You were correct. You could not see my eyes while I was on the stage. Then I asked, what general was it that told the men, don't shoot until you can see the whites of their eyes? Crazy thing. Well, I had a good time, and I was sure that they got my message. After Lansing, I was not afraid. I was cautious until I was sure the audience was listening to what I had to say. Then I gave them my speech. I heard two women in the first talk that I gave talking as they went out, which encouraged me. Why couldn't we have a fellow like him instead of a dry talk all the time? After the first talk, I had the confidence I needed. I had agreed to stay 1 year with the Ford Foundation and enjoyed every moment of the time with them. Well, time moved on, and I was getting tired and close to the end of my journey. On July the 9th of this year, 1978, I will be 85 years old, and I hope I can enjoy my friend watch Decatur grow while I stand on the sideline and cheer others who are carrying the good work in the community and look up the heavens and thank my Heavenly Father for His guidance in the past and ask again for His blessings for the future.
Thank you, Mr. Piggott. You've had a very exciting and inspiring life. You have been listening to the experiences of Mr. Lee D. Piggott. This is Betty Turnell for the Decatur Public Library.